Welcome back to another episode of Swamp Donkey Radio. It is a beautiful Monday morning, and I am your host, Lorenzo, joined as always by my dear friend, producer Ronnie. Ronnie, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's beautiful. It's great.
Dude, I wore shorts to work today.
Did you?
I'm in shorts, bro. I'm going to show the knees off. Look at these knees, bro. Oh, if goodness. You're listening on audio, you just missed the knee cam. Dude, it's going to be 80 degrees.
You're going to have to blur that out.
Yeah, you're going to blur out. I got some weak knees. Sometimes they'll be clacking together. It's a whole thing.
Oops.
You don't want to hear it. You don't hear about my knee issues, bro?
No, bro. Osteoporosis?
Dude, I had a great weekend. I watched a lot of sports. It was last day of the NBA regular season. I'm a big basketball fan, so I really enjoyed that. That went on my laptop, though, because it's always big screen was MLB. Four games on, locked in, dude. It was almost too much sports, I'm going to say. You were locked in on the Masters this weekend. Yeah. You're a golf guy now.
Yeah.
I was a little interested in that, and then I was like, I got to watch all these basketball games, and I got to watch all these baseball games to prep for the show. I was a little overwhelmed.
The sports equinox is later in the year, but this is pretty close. We just need, like, football.
Yeah, I might have to start cutting some stuff out because I'm like, there's too much happening right now. Obviously, like, when the playoffs start, I'll lock in on my Celtics, you know, keep the Red Sox on. Miss a couple casual baseball games, but not today. We got a lot to talk about. We got Padres-Dodgers beef. That was probably the story of the weekend. Some teams that I think are going to surprise us as we go on. Which division leaders are going to be the division leaders by the end of the year? Some Astros talk, Red Sox talk, hidden ball tricks, quality of the baseball, City Connect jerseys. And then let's go around the antlers as we always do. Again, if you're new to the channel, make sure you subscribe. If you're listening, make sure you leave a rating on Spotify and Apple. It really helps. Are you ready, Ronnie?
Let's go.
All right, 5 minutes on the clock. First topic, as we do 5 minutes for each inning, 9 innings gets you through the podcast. Padres versus Dodgers beef. Last week, I said I hadn't watched much Padres baseball. I asked for you guys to entertain me this weekend, and they came out and took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers in L.A. It was really impressive. The big story, though, was the Will Smith versus Jurickson Profar beef. Gavin Stone with an inside pitch that wasn't really... I don't know about you. It didn't really feel like that big of a deal.
No,
I think he had a perfect game at the time, so he hadn't given up a runner yet. And then Gavin Stone threw a pitch inside, and Profar got out of the way. He took exception to it. Will Smith seemed to talk some trash to him. At first, I was like, did Will Smith talk trash? Because I feel like Will Smith isn't really I don't know. I've never really heard much about him, you know, like off the field.
Yeah.
I didn't really think he had that much of like a personality going on.
Kind of a normal guy.
Yeah, just like Will Smith is like, he probably enjoys like cutting firewood. Like hanging out. But then in his post-game quote, he was like, I don't know why we would throw at him, talking about Profar. He's kind of irrelevant. And I was like, all right, Will Smith, I wasn't familiar with your game. And then I got really excited because if you're a Dodgers fan, we had the Mookie Betts, every time a team beats us this year, it's going to be our World Series. That was a pretty cocky quote. I liked it. And then this from Will Smith, I was like, the Dodgers know that they're so good. And they don't care. They want all the smoke. This time it went against them, though, because Padres took 2 out of 3. Profar of a massive hit in game 3 to give them the lead. And then the Dodgers, in the last game of the series, walked 14 hitters. That's the most in one game by a Dodgers pitching staff since 1962. So really not good. I was looking through and I was like, this series spoke to me. Should we bring in someone to talk about this, Ronnie?
I know a Padres fan.
You want to go get him real quick for me?
I'll go get him.
Go get him real quick. I'll go through my notes. And we got a Padres fan I want to talk to you about this series because there was a lot going on. The funniest thing to me was Manny Machado hit a homer into Dodgers outfield. And then the Padres fan or the Dodgers fan caught Manny Machado's homer. You've probably seen this on Twitter. And threw it back. And it made... Oh, I just hit my mic. And it made me laugh a ton because when it happened, he like... had a second ball in his pocket that he took out and threw, but everyone had cameras on him. So then he had to immediately just like start pretending like he wanted to do that and that it was a goof. And it made me laugh. I thought it was pretty funny. I'm impressed with the Padres, though. I talk about Matt Waldron's knuckleball, dude. He absolutely won me over this weekend. Now we're bringing in a special guest, Ryan. Please take a seat. We're in the middle of recording, Kev. Ryan, please take a seat. This is your Swamp Talkie Radio debut, I almost wore the same hat as you today. Welcome to the Swamp, Ryan. He is a known Padres fan while Ronnie sets the camera. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. This is an honor I didn't see coming, and it's flattering. I am a fan, and I'm happy to be on your show.
Yeah, don't worry. We're going to figure out this whole camera stuff. We'll take care of it real quick. Now, Ryan, it was a pretty good weekend for you.
Yeah, dude.
Well, give me your one-minute summary of the Padres-Dodgers series.
Anytime the Pods go into L.A., I want one win. And I've seen plenty of series where they don't get that one win.
So you just wanted one.
Yeah, dude. The Dodgers are the best regular season team I've ever seen. You know, they're going to do what they're going to do in October.
That was a little dig.
Sorry. I had to. Dude, they're unbelievable in the regular season. And the Padres are historically not great in L.A. So when they get up there, I want one win. I feel happy. Friday night, they go down early. Big comeback. Tatis stays hot. Jackson Merrill is 20 years old, bro. Jackson Merrill is supposed to be a sophomore in college.
Give me that. Like, psych 101.
He's getting four hits a night.
How about Tatis? 900 OPS to start this season.
My guy.
Your guys' propaganda is starting to play out correctly. So give me, like, a snapshot on the Padres season so far real quick. Like, what is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you? Because I said last time I hadn't watched a ton of Padres baseball. I locked in this weekend. I watched some Padres baseball, and I was impressed, obviously. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you with the start?
This week changed a lot.
Okay.
A week ago, they looked a lot like the 2023 team, where they'd go down and the game was over. If they got an early lead, they didn't add on, and then it became a bullpen blow up at the end, and I just saw that movie too many times. This past week, they went down 8-0 to the Cubs and won 9-8.
That was a good win.
They went down 7-3 to the Doyers and won 8-7. They went down on Sunday 3-1 and ended up winning late. Those are games they didn't have last year. This team might not be as talented as last year without Snell, Hader, Soto, but that's three games in a week span that they did not win one time last year. And I'm not exaggerating. You can look at the numbers.
I know.
They didn't win it once.
No, I love the energy. What's your opinion on the whole Will Smith profar beef? Are you into it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You gotta love it, right?
Yeah. I think profar, look, Stone was throwing a perfect game. Profar gets a pitch in. He goes, this is my chance to rattle him a little bit. It worked. They ended up scoring that.
Oh, I didn't think about that game.
I think he got in his head a little bit. Stone's a young dude having a great game. Profar's a veteran. I don't like calling Profar irrelevant. I also don't really care. Like, it's annoying, and, like, a Dodger said it, so I don't love it. But I'm not going to be like, we need to throw at him. Like, whatever. It was kind of fun. And then Profar hits the big double yesterday, which is rad.
That he hits the big double. He comes through in the clutch. I thought it was cool for both sides. I'm happy with the Padres. Now, give me one player who we should talk about more on the Padres who is underrated right now.
Already said it, bro. Jackson Merrill.
All right.
20 years old. He's the third least talked about Jackson. They're all 20.
There's a lot of Jacksons going on, huh?
And Jackson Merrill's not getting enough love for the Jacksons because he's a stud.
You want to know what, Ryan? That's what I'm going to start talking about Jackson Merrill more because of this conversation. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for the Padres propaganda. We needed it, and I needed to be educated. Also, Jackson Merrill with a little 139 OPS plus to start this
20
season.
20 years old.
That's really good. Ryan Cohen, guys, appreciate you as always. Moving on
Pleasure.
To our second inning. Nice job, Ronnie, handling that. I kind of threw that to you on the fly. I didn't give you a ton of time to set up on that, huh?
Hey, you cut me on my toes, and I delivered like always.
You delivered in the clutch. If it wasn't for Socials Kev's elbow in front of the camera, it wouldn't have been an issue at all. But you came in and clutched up. Moving on to our second inning. That one extended. We had Ryan on. We'll allow it. Major League. Now, Ronnie, have you seen the movie Major League before?
No.
You haven't?
No. There's a lot of baseball movies I haven't seen.
Don't worry. I'm not a movie shamer because I haven't seen any movie, so I don't really care. But I've seen this movie. It's good. And the premise of the movie is a really bad team rises up against their owner, they rally, and they come together and end up being pretty good. So I'm going to use that as my concept for this inning. Let's talk about a team that maybe has a bad April or has been bad to start the season, but we think can rise up and prove us all wrong. How about the A's? Have won three straight series for the first time since May 2021. Are they the team that I think can rise up? No, but I'm using them as an example. That's pretty impressive. How about that?
They have the chance to do the funniest thing ever.
They have the chance to do the funny. It would be a movie if they get moved to Sacramento and in their final year in the Coliseum, they say, hey, let's go make the playoffs, boys. And they rally together. But there's some stuff under the hood that we'll talk about that probably is the reason they won't be like that. So which team do I think can do it? The Mariners. Let's talk about them a little bit. They've been bad to start the season.
Yeah.
Off to a tough start. Not what you really want to see. I believe that they're 6-11, if I'm correct. 6-10. My apologies. So I did some digging. Why is this team so bad? I had a lot of expectations. So bad, I mean, it's been 17 games. But why have they been disappointing? I mean, they just lost a series to the Cubs this weekend with Julio Rodriguez getting picked off at first to end the game. That's bad vibes.
As a pinch runner.
As a pinch runner. So let's dig into what's going on. They rank 28th in baseball in runs per game. Now, that's not good, especially because they rank 29th in strikeout percentage. As a team, they strike out 28.9% of the time. The only team worse is Oakland, 29.1. Sorry, A's fans, catching a stray right there. You had a great weekend. That's on me. 20th in runs allowed per game. Now, this is really where we start to see what's going wrong. Boston at first in runs allowed per game, 2.56. Guess who's second, Ronnie?
The Yankees.
They are. 2.81, second in baseball. Now, here's where I would be worried if I were a Mariners fan, but also I'd be optimistic. So they're 20th in runs allowed per game. Luis Castillo has pitched 21.2 innings this season, giving up 14 earned runs. That's a 5.82 ERA. Luis Castillo, when right, is one of the best pitchers in baseball. George Kirby.
Your guy.
My guy. Not looking great to start the season. 14.1 innings pitched, 13 earned runs for an 8.16 ERA. Now, those are two coming into the season. If I had to pick two guys or a pitching staff I believed in the most, it was very popular to pick the Seattle Mariners. Now, Logan Gilbert has been good for them. Luis Castillo and George Kirby have been horrible for them. Those two aren't going to be horrible for this whole season. Those two are legit pitchers. They're both really, really good. They're going to figure it out, and that's cause for hope for the Mariners. Now, what I am not fully convinced on is their offense. Now, I saw the Red Sox play the Mariners in the beginning of the season, and I was like, dang, this team strikes out a lot. And they're going to continue to strike out a lot. And I don't really know what the solution is for them on how to stop that. If it's a hitting approach, do they need a new hitting coach? Is simply talent-wise? I mean, Julio's off to a really tough start to the season. He's been rough with a 441 OPS to start 2024 off. So he's down. So they need him to get going. They need some of their guys to get going. They just caught up one of their prospects. I believe Class A is his last name. Jonathan Class A? Let's see.
Sounds familiar. I know.
It's a I was right. Jonah, it's spelled different, though. Either way, so there's a lot of expectations, and I believe that the Mariners are going to figure it out. I don't know offensively, so if you're a Mariners fan, comment below. What is your path to getting better there? But from the pitching staff-wise, I don't expect them to be the 20th pitching staff in baseball. So they're my major league team. Have a bad April, fine. But let's figure it out in May. You know, that's what I believe in. Moving on to our third inning, we got division winners. As of today, April 15th, Patriots Day, which isn't a thing.
What?
It's Patriots Day today. I'm from Massachusetts. I was born and raised. I lived kind of outside of Boston my whole life. Patriots Day is a huge deal in Boston. It's really? The marathon day. People get the day off from work.
What?
It's like a holiday. I live in New Jersey and work in New York now, and nobody gives a shit about it. And it breaks my heart because today is like one of my favorite days of the year. There's 11-10 Red Sox baseball on today. It is the special day. But here, it doesn't mean anything.
I've never heard of this before.
That's why I'm in such a chipper mood today. It's one of my favorite days, but it doesn't matter around here. So for all my Boston fans and people living in Mass, happy Patriots Day. Now, division winners. Yankees, Guardians, and Rangers lead the AL divisions. Braves, Brewers, and Dodgers lead the NL divisions. Now, Ronnie, you can play this exercise with me. Now, we got to pick two of these teams out of the six that we think are locks. That at the end of the year, they'll be wire-to-wire division champions. My first one is the Dodgers. I think that's a layup. I think they're our wire-to-wire division. Yeah. My second one, let's do 1AL, 1NL. I'm going to go with the Rangers. And this is like a tough one for me because the Yankees have been really, really impressive. Super impressive. I mean, I thought they were going to steal that series from the Guardians, or they did steal the series. I thought they were going to sweep that series.
Yeah,
they've been really impressive, but I like the Rangers team, and the AL West is kind of a chaotic division.
Yeah.
And I believe in the Rangers going wire to wire this year. Also, just because I think the talent in the AL East is a lot better than the AL West. Whereas, like, I think the Orioles can get hot for a couple weeks. I think any team in the AL East can get hot for a couple weeks. I'm not sure as much with the AL West because the pitching problems there are real.
Yeah. No, the Yankees aren't necessarily locks because of the Orioles, obviously.
Yeah, I just think they're going to be two teams who probably both could win 100 games.
And the Rangers right now, especially if Houston keeps playing bad and if the Mariners stay bad.
I got some stats on Houston coming up, Ronnie.
So it's like they are the far and away clear best team in the AL West right now.
Also, they won a World Series last year, man. Let me see something. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to doubt you till you lose. They haven't lost. They won the World Series, so I believe in them. Now we got to pick two teams who are guaranteed won't be here.
Won't be the leader at the end of the year?
Yeah, this is tough, man. This one's really hard because honestly, these six kind of feel right in my head. I'm going to go Brewers, not just because, and this is me being an ignorant baseball fan, because Milwaukee, you probably hate this, and I always doubt you. You had a great weekend. You took a series against the Orioles. I'm always like, hey, well, how are they going to do it? They lose Burns, they lose Woodruff, and they still figure it out, man. They're that good. But I just, for the sake of this, between the Dodgers, Braves, and Brewers, I think the Brewers are probably a team that won't be a division winner out of these three teams. So that's one's kind of kill your darling situation. And then I think I gotta Guardians. I don't know. I think I gotta go Guardians, but I'm very worried about the AL Central, and I'm more confident in the AL East. But also, I don't think there's a team in the AL Central that like is winning me over. So I think I'm gonna go Guardians are gonna win that division.
I mean, you got the Royals being hot if they stay hot.
Yeah, but the Guardians pitching is really tough, especially with Bieber out for the whole year.
Yeah.
So I think I have to pick Guardians not to win that division.
No, exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
The two central teams, I mean, because there's such a crapshoot.
Yeah, I feel like I have more faith in the Yankees. I don't think the Yankees are like, I'm not as big a Yankee supporter as a lot of other people, so I'm obviously going to be a little bit more negative on them, but I can't objectively say that they have a less of a chance of winning their division than the Guardians do, especially when they're off to a 12-4 start, right?
Yes.
Like, they're off to an insane start to the season, so, and they've played good teams. They've played well.
Yeah,
they just beat the Guardians, so, I mean, I'll use that as my measuring stick. That was a tough exercise. Moving on to our fourth inning.
Me at the gym.
Me just doing any sort of physical activity. Dude, people told me it's going to be the hottest summer in New York, and I'm starting to believe it, and I'm getting worried, man.
I mean, we should be worried about a lot of things.
Yeah.
But that's why we're talking about baseball.
Yeah, not global warming. Fourth inning. Astros take 2 out of 3 against the Rangers. And I just want to use this as another talking point because we did a little segment on the Mariners. Let's get under the hood a little bit. Let's see why the Astros are off to a tough start, even though they had a good weekend. Obviously, there's a ton of injuries on their pitching staff. You got Framber, you got Verlander, up and down. There's some guys hurt there. But they're 29th in baseball in runs allowed per game, which is one of my stats that I like to keep track of. 5.18, the only team worse. Let's see if you can guess it, Ronnie. There's only one team in baseball worse, and they're worse by a lot.
In runs allowed per game?
Yes, runs given up per game.
Man. San Francisco Giants.
Wrong. It's the Colorado Rockies at 5.94. The Rockies are giving up six runs a game.
I forgot they were a team for a second. And that's my team.
That is your team. I'm wearing a Rockies hat, man. I support the Rocks no matter what.
I bleed purple.
You should go see a doctor. They do have their bullpen got off to a bad start, but their pitching staff has been just hurt the entire season and not doing well. They're 29th in walks per nine as a staff. Now, this is a stat I really like to keep track of, especially for a pitching staff, because if you look at this stat year over year, it's always the worst teams in baseball are in the bottom five of this stat. 27th. Now, the teams below them, Miami, Colorado, Chicago, the three worst teams in baseball to start the season. Miami, Colorado, Chicago, and then the Astros. So 4.47 walks per nine. That's a stat that I think reveals a lot about your state of your pitching staff and where you're going. I think it's going to get better for them. And here's the scary part for the Astros. If they're able to get healthy and figure out their pitching staff, the guys in the lineup haven't missed a beat. Now, it felt like they got off to a slow start just because that Yankee series was so prominent and it didn't really deliver as much as you think they would, but they kind of did, and they have. Jose Altuve, .382 batting average, .721 slugging, 5 homers with a .183 OPS. Yordan Alvarez, .982 OPS to start the season. He's a career .978 OPS. That's his career. Over 6 seasons, he has a .978 OPS, and he's 26 years old. That's crazy, dude. That's like all-time numbers. 978 OPS?
Probably the best lefty hitter. Oh, him and Soto.
I think Yordan Alvarez is the best hitter in baseball.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I think Soto's probably up there, too. But, I mean, Yordan Alvarez is a monster, bro.
This generation's David Ortiz.
He's David Ortiz. Yeah. Reincarnated. Yep. It's insane.
Cuban.
And then Kyle Tucker, doing it quietly too, with an 879 OPS to start the season as well. So those three guys are delivering. So if the Astros, if you're an Astros fan and you're worried about the start of the season, I would be small worried. You got a big series coming up with the Braves that's going to show a lot, but you just took a series out of the against the Rangers. And if your pitching staff can just get a little healthy and figure it out, your offense is going to score a ton of runs.
Is that the next series?
That's the next series, Astros Braves.
I'm going to be locked in.
I'm going to be locked in on that one too. A lot to learn about these Astros. Still too young in the season to tell, but there's some question marks. I believe in them a little, though. I'm starting to believe, now that I'm seeing what's going wrong, if their pitching staff can get healthy, I think they're going to be good. Fifth inning. Red Sox win a series against the Angels. I'm going to keep this tight. I went a lot on the Red Sox last time. I'll keep it short this time.
Yeah, please, man.
Tyler O'Neill may be the best player I've ever seen.
Oh, right.
Okay. Seven homers with a 1.209 OPS to lead baseball in home runs and OPS. How about that, Tyler O'Neill? Have yourself.
Tied for the lead, all right.
In homers?
Isn't Ozuna tied with him?
For homers?
Yeah.
I mean, tied is still lead.
Tied. Make sure that T1
Bro, is tied is still lead.
No, yeah.
God damn, dude. Here's the funniest stat. Tyler O'Neill, seven homers, eight RBIs. This is shows the difference between the Red Sox and the Braves. Tyler O'Neill has seven homers and eight RBIs.
He has eight RBIs for the season?
Eight RBIs for the season. Marcell Ozuna has seven homers, 21 RBIs.
And he's leading the league in runs, too.
He's leading the league in runs. So that's the difference between a good offense and a bad offense, yeah, all right? You get guys on front in front of you versus guys not in front of you. And that's what's happening for Tyler O'Neill. But he's still playing great. I love you. Thank you. You're an awesome Red Sox. Sign him for life. The Red Sox lead baseball in errors with 16. Brutal, brutal defense. Yeah. I had to, like, take my medicine this weekend because I trolled the Oakland A's when they played horrible defense. And then guess what? The Red Sox come out and say, hey, we are going to be objectively a worse defensive team than the Oakland A's this season. It's brutal, and I don't know if there's a real solution. I think it's a lack of talent. Every single game, Alex Cora is switching up his defensive alignment like crazy. Some guy will start in center field and finish the game at shortstop in Rafael, which is awesome. But the fact that he has to move around positions so much is a sign of just lack of major league-ready defensive talent. It's a serious issue with the Red Sox, and they take two out of three from the Angels. I should be happy. I'm not happy because I'm super worried about this team and the direction. One thing I am happy about is they still have the best pitching staff in baseball. If their defense could just make plays, we'd probably have like two or three more wins. But hey, they win the series. We take it. We move on. My last note here. Tristan Casas. He's 24 years old. Now, for some reason, I feel like he's been in baseball longer than he has. Last year was his first full season. He's finished third in Rookie of the Year. He has a career 844 OPS. That's pretty good.
He can bang.
I'm going to sneeze real quick. It's like building. Oh, nope. It's leaving now. Now, the lineup is interesting to me because Devers has been hurt to start the season. And there's a lot of question marks. But if you're a Red Sox fan and you squint. Now, squint with me if you're a Red Sox fan. You can kind of see the direction of the team. You got Devers, who's 27. Casas, who's 24.
He's that old?
He's 27, yep. You got Rafaela, who's, I believe, 24. You got Duran, who's 26. So if you squint, you can be like, okay, these are four guys I kind of see having a role in the Red Sox being good. So, Casas was a bright spot. He has been a bright spot. He had a good weekend. He's been a good hitter in his career. That's something to keep looking out for. Also, Kenley Jansen, worrisome, but struck out Trout to win the game.
Yep.
So good job. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about Kenley later in the show. Sixth inning. Let's pick a play of the weekend. This will be a little bit of a video segment. So if you're on audio, you can just skip to the next inning. We had three epic plays in my mind this weekend. That's how I want to describe it.
Okay.
The hitting ball trick to win the game. Did you see that?
Who?
I believe it was a college baseball play. There was a hitting ball trick to win the game.
Yeah.
It was super cool. Nestor's fake pitch made windup. Kind of a troll.
Very much a troll.
Foul ball. If it was a strikeout, it would have been a lot cooler. But I saw it, and I was like, I'm going to put that on this list. That's pretty.
Went viral.
Yeah, that's kind of baller to do, mid-major league game. And then, of course, my favorite, Matt Waldron's knuckleballs, which were stupid,
dude. That was cool.
So which one of these plays am I going to give play of the weekend to? I think I'm going to give it to the hidden ball trick just because that's an actual play. Whereas Nestor's windup was just one pitch. And then Matt Waldron's just an experience. He's more like a concept than a thing.
The Waldron experience.
Yeah, it's more just, you have to watch it to truly believe it. But I'm going to give it to the hidden ball trick because that's the coolest thing I think you can do. And it worked. You straight goofed everybody on the field to win the game.
It was awesome.
It's kind of baller. So shout out to whoever made that hidden ball trick play. I don't know your name, but you're cool, and I appreciate you. Seventh inning. Now, this is my Kenley Jansen topic. There's been a lot of weird stories to start the season. You had the uniforms, then you got the injuries, then you have the Ipe situation. And I feel like there's been just like big headlines that aren't really great reflection of baseball. Like the injury thing, that's bad. Nobody wants that. The Ipe thing, that's horrible. The jersey thing, that's a bad look. This is another story that's kind of been arising lately. Kenley Jansen, after his outing with the Red Sox, talked about the inconsistency of the baseballs. And apparently this is an issue that a lot of Red Sox pitchers have talked about. I don't know if other pitchers have talked about it, so if your team has talked about it, let me know. But he really went into criticizing the quality of the baseball, said it has been an issue among pitchers all year. I just hope we can get better with the qualities of baseball. It's embarrassing.
Wow.
So this is a pretty big issue that's been going on, and the reason I want to bring this up is because I don't know the difference in the quality of a baseball.
Right.
Kenley Jansen does. One of the greatest pitchers or closers of all time. Like I think he's like third in saves all time. With the continued rise in pitchers' injuries and everybody wanting to give a reason why, I don't know if this is a reason why, but I think it's a bad look that one of your best and like most like legendary closers in the game is coming out and criticizing the baseball that the pitchers are throwing while everyone is hyper-focused on why pitchers are getting hurt. And now this is just another option or potential reason why pitchers could be getting hurt. Is it the pitch clock? I don't believe so, but some people do. Is it the velo? That seems more likely. Is it how hard they're gripping the ball because they can't use sticky stuff anymore or substances that help them grip the ball? Some people have talked about the fact that they don't use like pre-tacked baseballs that they use in Korea or Japan. And now you got Kenley Jansen coming out and saying, hey, the qualities of baseballs is a real issue for pitchers. This is not a great look. I don't know how real of like or how big of a problem this is in terms of is it hurting pitchers or is it just like a feel thing and makes it more inconsistent to pitch? I would love to know that. I don't know. But looking at it and just hearing Kenley Jansen come out and criticize it, it's a little concerning to me. And then this weekend, you had the Mariners not being able to wear their jerseys on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't arrive in time.
Same thing happened with the Rangers and I think the Brewers.
Guys, this isn't like your little league game where your mom forgot to bring them from home. These are billion-dollar companies and Major League Baseball, and the jerseys aren't in time. Just another – that one I don't care about as much because that's literally just like a – if you're in baseball, you're going to talk about that story. But that's just a – what's going on there?
It's a mess. It's a mess.
It's a mess. So you don't love to see that. But the Kenley Jansen thing, I'm actually interested to see how that develops. Like, what does he mean, the quality of baseballs? What is the – is there like the way they're being stored? Is there new balls being used? Are they, you know, just different? So I would love to know more about that. So I hope we get a follow-up story on that. Eighth inning. Did you see the Mets City Connect leak?
I did. The hat.
What did you think?
There's potential for it to be very, very good.
There's potential. I like that wording. There's a lot of potential there. The Phillies broke out their City Connects for the first time in gameplay. So let's talk about the Phillies. Then we'll give a rating on the Mets leak.
Sure.
Seeing the Phillies in action, did it move the needle for you?
I will say they do look a little bit better in person.
Just a little better.
Just
in person,
a little bit.
Which is all we're asking for.
Yeah. The hat's cool. The logo's all right. It's still just very – it's such a different because the Phillies already have such a great color scheme.
I just don't like how different it is.
I think it's too different.
And that's kind of weird because sometimes I do like when they're different. But for this reason, I just feel like it doesn't feel right to me. It didn't feel like I was watching a Phillies game. Like when Trey Turner slipped and that ball got by him and he was in the uniform, I'm like, this isn't a Phillies game. This is like a JUCO game.
It's very AAU.
Yeah, AAU is a good way to describe it. It has college energy to me as well. I don't particularly love it. I like the hats. But the Mets City Connect, I kind of like the hat.
It had a little pink button up top. And then underneath the hat, it had that little like subway design.
Yeah, it had promise for me at least. I was like, that's potential. And I'm excited to do our official City Connect tier list once they all come out because we'll have all of them and we'll be able to fully analyze. I think every team that's getting them will have it, no, at the end of the year?
No, not every team. The Yankees and A's won't.
But they're not doing them, right?
I think eventually they probably will, but not this year.
I refuse to believe that the A's and Yankees are doing one. The A's aren't going to do one because they're moving to Sacramento.
I mean, I don't
Sacramento City Connect?
That would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Actually, that would sell a lot.
It would sell a lot because it'd be like a novelty thing. But there's no way the Yankees are doing one. Or if they do, it's going to be so lame.
I mean, I think it'd be lame if they are the only team that doesn't do it.
But that's so something that's going to happen.
I'd be pissed. Like, I mean, if the Mets come out with it says Queens on it.
Yeah, look, I like the Mets has potential, man. Yeah. They kind of surprised me a little bit. I didn't expect them to be as promising as they were. Moving on to our ninth inning, Ronnie. Got some questions. Only two this week, so comment below if you guys have any questions. We'll make sure we read them on air. Who has been your favorite player to watch in baseball to start the season?
Favorite player to watch?
I have an answer who I talked about earlier. It's Matt Waldron. I mean, every time he's pitching, I'm locked in. And the thing with knuckleballers is sometimes it goes horribly wrong, but when they're right, man, it's a special feeling. And we need more of them in the game. So when the Red Sox had a knuckleballer for a while, we got the R.A. Dickey legacy, and now we got Matt Waldron out there doing it. So he's by far been my favorite player to watch.
I have one.
Give me.
MJ Melendez of the Royals.
You love MJ Melendez. That's the second episode in a row that you've dropped MJ Melendez.
Melendez Hive, stand up.
I hate it. Next, what is the first MLB jersey you've ever owned?
Wow. MLB jersey that I've ever owned? Do you have one?
I think mine was a David Ortiz Red Sox jersey.
Yeah.
I believe that was the first jersey I ever owned. The first one I ever bought was a Juan Soto Padres jersey.
Mm.
And then you know, that went down.
Did you ever get a Tatis?
Jack got a Tatis. Got a Tatis.
I'm trying to think because I remember my first basketball jersey was the New Orleans Hornets Anthony Davis.
That's tough.
When they were the Hornets, that was cool. But I think my first baseball one was a Yankee one. It was number 24.
You love to see that.
For Cano.
Well, that's this episode of Swamp Talkie Radio. Make sure you like, subscribe, listen. We are live every Monday and every Friday with a new episode. Thank you for watching, as always, and we'll see you next time. Bye.